Hi, welcome to Coding for Fun. Here behind me is our booth at PDC, and it's all about doing wild, crazy stuff with source code. So we have Mind Blaster, which is a mind control application. We have Wi-Fi Warthogs, Power Wheels, drive around and stuff using Xbox controllers. We have Drink Tender, which is an automated bartender system. Laser graffiti, so you have a laser and it draws it automatically. And augmented reality, so you just have a cool little thing and it magically appears in as a 3D image. So here I have Tim Higgins, who created Wi-Fi Warthogs. Tim, can you tell me a bit about your project?
Yeah, Clint. The project was, it was a concept of, let's do laser tag. Let's have a little battle going on here at the PDC. So what we did is we took Barbie Power Wheels vehicles, converted them into Wi-Fi Warthogs. Okay. So what we've done is we've used a couple devices called fidget devices. Yeah. They interface really well with the C-sharp interface. We've got the X and A controllers to control the Xbox 360. Yeah. And basically, using all this, we're able to control these cars.
Okay.
So you can actually have a big old laser game. We've got three cars here today. So we had about six people out here, had a big old major war going on. You can see some of the battle scars on some of the vehicles.
Yeah, yeah.
Trash can took a beating.
Right into my area.
One almost took out the drink tender. So it's been a lot of fun. It's been a really cool project.
So what went involved transforming a Hot Wheel, Power Wheel, I'm sorry, into a full-blown Wi-Fi Warthog? Like, what was the process? Like, what needed to change?
Well, you know, when you're looking at these vehicles,
It's
an 80-20 concept. 80% of what you are doing is already here. The cars already go forward. The cars already come back. They steer left to right.
Yeah.
So what we had to do is take out some of the, you know, the safety things. We didn't need the kids slow speed, fast speed. We wanted full speed. So the other thing was
more power.
The other thing was in the steering, the rack and pinion. A lot of people on the web have tried doing it with servos. It is just not powerful enough. I've tried the same thing; it just didn't work. So what we decided to use was something that you sit on almost every day. We used the tracking from your car seats. So the junkyard has a ton of those available, and that's what it works. It's got a nice flexible motor. It's 12 volts. Everything works together.
Wow. Last time I talked to you, I thought you used power drills.
We actually did. We'd used old cordless drills.
Okay.
And we created our own worm gear. And it worked beautiful, but it had some reliability issues.
Yes. Yeah.
So the nice thing about the car seats, it was designed beautiful. It was just cut it down, hook it right into the front wheel.
Okay.
Boom, go. Now, as you can tell, there's the standard 12-volt battery that would have came with the power wheels. And then I've got a secondary one that controls 6 volts for the servos. And then up here, again, this is just a standard Asus ePC. And utilizing the Microsoft Xbox controller receiver. These were just standard, again, laser tag games that you could buy pretty much anywhere online. And it's just a matter of hooking it all in. So literally, you could have a car up and driving in about 4 hours.
Okay, nice.
So now, it's also easier parts to get a hold of.
Yeah.
I mean, I can go to any junkyard and get a electric seat. I mean, this one's got a 2006 Grand Prix, you know? So the from that aspect, we use a EPC to power everything.
Because they're cheap.
They're cheap.
$300 each.
In this case here, we've even got Windows 7 on it.
Yeah.
It works beautiful. We idle at about 6 to 8% CPU usage.
Okay.
What basically we're doing, though, is we're using the main program, which reads the controls, and it basically is sending messages to four more engines, which run about 20 times a second.
Okay.
These engines basically are just waiting for messages. And the messages are basically for steering. You know, for driving, for steering, forward, reverse, and then it's for the guns. You know, to shoot, turn, and then also, did I get hit?
Yeah.
And then again, it's all just intermingled talking messages back and forth. Okay, I got shot. Let's send feedback.
Oh, okay. So you said we got shot.
Mm-hmm.
Now, what happens when you get shot? Because you have a plasma screen over there.
Yes, we do.
With scoreboard, so it basically keeps track of who's winning.
Exactly, and that's where a lot of the Wi-Fi comes in.
Okay.
These are all definitely Wi-Fi.
Yeah.
So what basically happens is, since we are using message queue, we do have another queue over on the machine that's connected to the plasma screen.
In there, every time that you get hit, or every time you shoot, again, we pass a message off to the scoreboard.
Nice.
The scoreboard turns around and keeps track of what the hits were, how many shots you did.
Okay.
And then from everything else, the cars are pretty much autonomous.
Okay.
So we could have as many cars out here as we wanted that we could find, and as many parts as we want to put together.
Cool.
Player two is in here. And as you can tell, it is player two. And basically, he's the gunner.
Okay.
And
so this is just like Halo.
Exactly. You do have the ability, if there's only a single player, that it will turn around and allow you to be gunner or driver.
Okay.
But for right now, we do have the gunner and the driver.
Yeah.
The thing with the gun is, like in Halo, the gun's got unlimited ammo. So
yeah.
I can shoot away. It does only allow you to take 10 hits, though.
Okay.
And so then you can control. To control the gun, it's a very simple concept. So all you do is, again, you're basically holding in, and it's reading the different commands that I want to do.
Okay.
Now, the guns actually do a great deal for me by themselves. It was a laser tag gun game. Basically, we wired into it, and we tracked when the domes have been hit, so that way I know exactly that, hey, there was a voltage spike.
Yeah.
We bring it down, we read it, and then that's how we know to send feedback to the other player. The other thing is it's got an auto reload, so when you've been shot, or you've shot eight times, it will automatically reload, so that way, because people go finger crazy.
So let's just start driving.
Okay.
Let's go. So this is Drink Tender. This is my personal pet project. I've been working on this for a while because I used to always get yelled at for making mixed drinks too strong. So what my solution was, I'm just going to build a robot. And as you can see here, this is using WPF. It uses Link to SQL to figure out the database connections. And also it is actually heavily multi-threaded in the back end. So all the parts in Drink Tender are actually off-the-shelf parts. And it will only show you the drinks it can make with what's on hand. So what I wanted to learn was a couple core pieces of technology. So I want to learn WPF, Link to SQL, and learn a lot more about threads. So what I did was I built this cool little UI using WPF, so it's all touch-based. It's designed so more or less, no matter how inebriated you are, it still works. So I can click, it shows you your last ordered drink, your most ordered drink, a random drink, and can even do searching. But let's go do a quick thing. As I said, the system only knows what it can make. So right now it says, hey, I have the ingredients to make green water and purple water. So if I click green water here, it shows me what's in it and how much. So if I click the pour button down here, which I'm going to do, you'll see over here it actually pour out. But you know what? I don't like green water. I actually want purple water. So let's click the back button here. And I have purple water, and as you can see, two different ingredients here. I click the pour button again, and it's going to pour purple water. Now, it's going to pour the same amount time and time again because it's all controlled through a computer. It runs constant pressure, therefore, it's going to pour at a constant rate. So by doing this one little cool project, I've now had an automated bartender, a bunch of cool back-end technology that I built, and this will all be on Coding for Fun as well. I'm here with Ohan Oda from Columbia University, and we're here showing off augmented reality. So as you can see, I'm wearing some cool 3D glasses, and we have this cool board here that will actually allow us to create virtual 3D images on this and play a cool game. So if you look at the monitor right here, you can actually see me start playing the game. So I'm going to go lean.
So it's using the orientation tracker of the glass and also the orientation and position of the markers that he sees here to figure out the absolute direction of the gravity. And using the gravity, I can tell which direction the user is tilting the board. And I can correctly make the ball rolls to the direction of the gravity, based on the gravity. And the objective of the game here is to, as you see, Clint here is trying to actually roll the ball to wherever it says the goal on the top of the
more.
And now he won. You can get their UOL information later on from here. And this is a framework for building any type of AR applications. And the demo you see here is one of the applications I built. Actually, this is done in 2 to 3 days with the framework. And it's a 3D engine specialized for AR applications. So it has physics simulation, networking, GUI rendering, scene graph, and everything. So this is a game called Domino Knockdown Game. This was supposed to be a two-player game, but today we're having some issue with another device. So here we're showing single-player game. And how to play this game is basically just tap on the screen to shoot a ball. And wherever you tap the screen, the ball is going to come off there. And the objective of the game is to try to knock off those dominoes on the table. It's using these unique markers for tracking the position and orientation relative to the camera.
I'm going to go give this a shot here.
Okay.
Okay.
You just put your hand under and then you hold.
How does it actually know, like, an object's here versus an object's here? What do these symbols do?
Basically, this is a configuration that somewhere here I define the point as 000 in the 3D graphics world. So I know the configuration of all these markers. So as I orient or change the direction of these, we're using a framework called a library called Alvar from VTT in Finland that they provide us this library for tracking these markers.
Thank you, Ohan.
Yeah, thank you very much, Clint.
Okay, so I have Jeremiah Morrow here, and he did laser graffiti. So what he basically did, actually, you know what? I'm not going to tell you. Jeremiah's going to tell you.
Well, essentially right here, you have a regular laser pointer. Over there, we have a web camera, and we track the laser pointers using a rudimentary vision routine. And with that routine, we can detect where the laser pointer is, and we can draw.
So you can draw cool little doodles. And this is we bought. These are $25 on Amazon, and we're using a stock webcam that you can get anywhere, correct?
Yes.
Yeah.
Very cheap.
So, can you tell me about some of the random bits of technology that's in it? Because it's not just, you know, you have an off-the-shelf motion tracking system. How are you doing these cool little doodles up here?
Well, right here, the doodles are actually rendered with XNA, which is a hardware-accelerated API. And over here, we actually have a WPF application, which actually runs a UI to do all the settings and whatnot.
Okay. Hi, I'm here with Brian Peake, who created Mind Blaster, which is a mind control application. So I'm actually using this headset to control the game with my brain.
That's right.
So Brian, can you tell me a bit about your game?
Yeah, sure. So what we got is a headset from a company called NeuroSky, which calculates your alpha, beta, theta, and gamma waves, and then gives you a score between 0 and 100 of what your concentration is or what your relaxation is. So we're using that concentration value to destroy enemies that are on the screen. So in conjunction with this headset, there's a gutted Wiimote strapped to the top, which is doing head tracking. So at the end of the day, you're moving your head to focus over an enemy and then focus your brain power, your energy, your concentration on that enemy to heat it up and make it explode.
Yeah, so I lack this concentration
apparently,
thing.
Apparently, yeah.
Everyone else has been doing this thing time and time again. They're getting scores in like the 70s. I get like 3.
You're at 43. Focus a little harder, Clint. You can do it. That's not helping at all.
I know.
No. So the headset has 4 sensors, 3 that go on your left ear and 1 that sits on your forehead. And it's an EEG machine. It's measuring microelectric impulses from your brain. And they have a custom algorithm written by NeuroSky that takes those values and gives you something meaningful, because I have no idea what theta waves are and how to use them. So at the end of the day, I get that nice concentration score between 0 and 100, which I can use to, you know, take off points from an enemy or set things on fire. On the opposite side of the scale, you have the relaxation value, which if you wanted to write a game where you're levitating objects or, creating a serene picture or something with your brain, you can use that relaxation value to do the exact same thing. The Wiimote works. They're both Bluetooth devices. The Wiimote works with an infrared signal. So you've got, if you own a Wii at home, you know, you've got that sensor bar on your television set using that same technology here.
Well, it feels weird. I mean, the weird thing is you have this thing on your head, and then it does head tracking. So I turn to the left, and the screen properly moves to the left. I go to the right, and it does that as well. Unless if you actually have it on, it doesn't. It looks very, very weird. And then I'm just horrible at concentrating, evidently.
Yeah.
Because, I always lose. So here you have the Coding for Fun booth. You saw all five projects. And if you have any questions, go to www.coding4fun.com and we'll be happy to show you anything that we've done today. Along with, if you have any questions, please hit the contact button and we'll happily answer your questions.